Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves. Tonight, since there was an overwhelming response to our domestic violence segment on January 19th, we've decided to bring it back with our co-host, Miss Dana Keys. Dana?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Renita. Hi, everyone. Hi, Renita. Thank you for having me back.
You are welcome. Like I said, we had just an overwhelming response to our first segment. Everybody was calling and emailing, partially because they wanted to hear your story. They felt like you gave a lot of input, but you said some key words. One, that you are a survivor. Two, that you coded three times. So that was a mystery. And I must say, that as long as we have been friends, as many things that we have talked about, discussed, been through, we've never actually went through your whole story. So tonight I want to give you a chance to tell your story. We're going to stop taking calls and everything probably about 10 or 20 minutes before the end of the show. so that you can tell the people, the listeners that are calling in tonight, the ones that called in and listened in on January 19th, just how you are a survivor. Deal?
Well, I mean, as you said, I'm a survivor. As far as me telling my story, it's not something that I kind of just really openly just go into. Yes, I am a survivor, and I'm there for a whole lot of women. But there's a lot of things that are, I think one caller hit it on the head. In order to tell a story, you have to relive it. And that's kind of like a part of my life that I've kind of put. I've gotten through it the way I did. And honestly, I haven't shared that story with anybody in my immediate family. So I don't think that it would be something I would just immediately say, hey, this was going on. But if the spirit leaves, the spirit leaves. Whatever happens, happens.
I understand. So there you have it. You know what? Tonight, though, I want to talk about, there were a lot of things that we did discuss. And we did talk about it. We gave a lot of good advice, or you gave a lot of good advice on the topic to our listeners a couple of weeks ago. But one thing that we didn't really talk about is the kids and how, if your parents are fighting, how it affects you as a child and not being able to help and not really having a voice. And not being able to discuss it with anyone, especially the people at school, for fear of being taken out of the home. You don't want to see your mom hurt, but that's your dad.
That's definitely, I don't think, and as sad as it is saying that, I don't think like the people who are, I would say, the assaultants or the victimizer thinks about the children in that situation. And that is a tough situation for children to be in. I know me, myself, when I was going through my situation, I only had one child at the time. Yes, my son was directly involved in the situation himself. It affected him a few years, and I think he kind of lied it dormant for a while. However, the same situation I say as far as sharing my story, my children are adults now, and there's a lot of things in that situation I wouldn't even want my kids to hear that I went through because of the reaction that they can have to it. Just even thought that your mother went through something like that as an adult male, I can kind of put a spin on things. And a lot of times, people don't think about the children, and that is a direct effect. Boys grow up to be victims. They grow up to be assaulted. If you sit there and all you see is your dad beating on your mother, you think that that's an okay behavior. And a lot of the people who abuse women have sat there and seen it themselves. A lot of young ladies see their fathers beating their mothers, and they take it because they think that's okay.
That's something that's normal. That's their normal. When I come home from school, my parents are going to be arguing and fighting. I can expect to see that at 3:30 every day when I walk through the door. And that's their norm. So when they grow up, that's what parents do. They argue and fight and put their hands on each other.
So when a young man sees that how his dad did to his mother, and in his mind, his mother bowed down and that was the control, and his mother did what his father asked because the way he acted to his house. But then he becomes that man to think that it's okay to control his woman like that because my mother stayed with my father and this is what I've seen, and that's okay. And like I said, vice versa with the girl, so my mom went through it and this is normal. He loves me and this is normal. This is okay.
That's tough. I don't ever think it's okay, but I can see how the children could think that this is something that is okay because my mom didn't leave.
Right.
Wow. Well, I want to read an email that I got from a guy named Jason. He's 18 and he just entered into Morehouse College in the fall. And he said, I used to sit in my room and hear them fighting. Then I'd hear my mother screaming and I knew that my dad had hit her. When I was 8 years old, my mother finally left my dad, but it didn't stop him. He used to come around all the time and catch her coming in the house and start yelling and fighting on her. I would run upstairs and try to tell my oldest brother to help my mom. There have been times when me and my brother were in the same room when they were arguing, and he would kick my mother in the stomach and bust her mouth. I used to plead to her for years to leave him, and she finally did in 2012. She decided enough is enough. Wow.
Right.
That's just looking from the perspective of an 8-year-old kid. So 10 years ago, you know, this is the things that he was going through. And when I emailed him back and I asked him, I said, well, are you still affected? How do you feel about it now? And his response was, people throw around statistics saying that 70 to 80% of children are batterers are also abused. That statistic, I feel, is wrong. Every single child who witnesses abuse is a victim of abuse. An abused child and then an adult trying to recover from that abuse. I was far more affected by witnessing the abuse of my mother than I was at any abuse directed towards me by my dad.
And it's, and, you know, and to say that, just, you know, in his defense and on his side, I agree with that 100%. Like I said, just touching back on, you know, my situation. My son at the time was 3 years old. My son was right there, directly involved in the situation, actually trying to protect me as a 3-year-old. Well, as he got older, I didn't realize, and even you yourself know, me and my older son, we have a relationship that is so close, and he, when people clean, you know, seem kind of clumsy, but even when I started dating other people, I learned that I couldn't argue in front of him, because the first thing he'd do is jump in front of me, just unconsciously, because that's the, and at the age of 24, he doesn't even remember the situation. However, his response to things that I go through lets me know that he still has that in him, even though he doesn't remember the situation. So I could, you know, he also, like the young man said, you do become a victim, and you will remember that, whether it's consciously or unconsciously. I think a lot of his behavior is still from my situation that I don't think that he even understands.
Well, can I ask you something, Dane? How do you think that seeing this and being a witness to this, and now he's a grown man, do you think that that has an effect on his relationship, negative or positive? Not saying that, you know, that he fights anybody, but just maybe because he saw that or he witnessed that, maybe he's a little bit more apt to allow females to say crazy things or do crazy things to him without responding?
No, I really don't. I think him, he's more of a protector when it comes to women. I look at him with his female cousin. He's very protective. He's very protective of me. And I think his problem in his relationship is a lot of times that he's so close to me, which is, you know, kind of has a negative effect, that he gets very protective of these women. And when they don't, you know, some women are, like we just said, you know, earlier, some women are very aggressive themselves. I don't think that he likes aggressive women because that situation triggers things. So when you have a woman who's very dominant and aggressive, he stems away from those type of relationships because to him, that's just like, that's a negative relationship. It's a negative energy,
right,
that I don't think he consciously is aware of. I mean, just when I look at his different ways of dating, I think that that's where it comes from. And the fact that he doesn't remember the situation, there was a time we talked about it, he did. But now when I asked him, I asked him, do you remember, you know, when I got cut? He's like, no. Like, but there was a time when he did. As he got older, I don't know if he kind of like just hid it inside.
That's a reasonable explanation. Some kids want to block it out. I want to take a call right now, and we'll go back to this conversation. Caller with the last 4 digits of 9630. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to listen, or do you want to make a comment?
Make a comment.
Okay. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm doing fine. What's your comment?
I think females shouldn't hit dudes if they don't want to get hit back.
I agree. So you're saying that it's not just about the males beating on the females. It's about some females fighting males as well.
Yes.
Okay. You want to elaborate a little bit more? Because I want to talk about this subject. If not, I'm going to put you back in queue, and me and Dana will discuss the issue of females fighting on males.
Yeah. Hello? Okay, that's how I go.
Okay.
Hello?
Back in queue. Hello?
Hello? You want to talk about it more?
You can.
Yeah, because at school, the female is like, a dude to say something to her or something, and then the females just run up and hit them, and then they cry or get mad and try to get somebody on a dude when a dude hit her back.
So you feel like the dude has a right if... Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a girl, but I can hit like a guy. I work out. I would never want to put myself in a position where I'm hitting on a man and he hit me back. And I have sons, and I think my sons are fine. And I tell them, don't you ever put your hands on a woman, but you don't let nobody put their hands on you either. So if a female hits you as your mother, I'm giving you permission to hit her back. And I know some people may think that's wrong, but I know how hard I hit. So I know there's other girls out there that hit probably just as hard as me, if not harder. So
yeah.
You can't expect to be able to beat a man. Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your comment.
Now, elaborating on that with me, though. Now, situation, I agree. I have three sons. Because of the situation I've been in, I've always raised my voice. Don't you ever hit a woman. Don't you ever put your hands on a woman. Don't you ever just... However, I agree with you 100%. There was a time when I was younger and I fought and beat up a couple of boys, so I don't agree. And they fought back. They just didn't win. I agree that women, I hear all the time that they say a guy should never hit a woman because a guy can always hit harder than a female. That is not true because there's a lot of women that are built bigger than men. There are a lot of women who are more muscular than men, and that's not always true. And says that's the guy that never got in the ring with Layla Ali. I'm just saying. Because, I mean, really, she's a female, but it's, you can't really just say that. And just on that situation, you know, I just went through that last year. My son got involved in a situation like that, and it's unfortunate because a female, I think females really should pay the same consequences. Here's my son was literally being beat, hit in the head three times by a woman, going up there, and he walked away each time. And when he finally turned around and hit her back, I mean, you and I both know, my son had some serious time. He's facing a felony. My son's facing 9 years for hitting somebody back one time after he walked away twice. And she openly admitted in court she hit him.
How is that right?
So I don't
what
think,
kind of law is that?
It's not. Well, you get a female judge who feels that a guy should never have to hit a woman back. A guy should always be able to walk away. But a guy doesn't have to take abuse either. And this is coming from somebody who's been abused by a guy. I would never think that it's okay for my son to just literally beat on a woman, but my children have the right to defend themselves. And I don't think that should be not okay just because you're a male.
I agree.
And I'm sure people may disagree with me as well, but
the law. Where is it in black and white?
Right,
says a female can hit you, but you don't have the right to hit her back. Because she is a female and you should walk away. I want to take another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 8840. 8840. Caller, are you calling in to listen or do you want to make a comment?
I can make a comment.
Okay.
Can
I think
you mean?
Have a guy on the phone. You want to tell us where you're from?
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Lando from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Lando.
How y'all doing? I mean, my mom's went through domestic violence, so, I mean, this is like a real touchy, you know, feeling with me, and it's like hitting home. And, I mean, I definitely agree with everything that y'all are saying. There has been times where, I mean, I didn't physically, like, see all the domestic violence with her, like the first time I pretty much witnessed it, he just pushed her. I intervened. Excuse me, I'm sorry, because I have a slight cold. But I intervened, and from that point on, you know, he told me that he would never, you know, put his hands on her. Would come to find out, all the rest of the times he was doing it was behind closed doors. And I guess one day he just decided, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go hard. And he blackened both of her eyes, fractured her jawbone, and broke her tooth. So when I got wind of it, of course, you know, I went from 0 to 1,000 at a one-track mind. And I was going to definitely do some damage, but, you know, my mom talked me out of it, which was good, you know. I mean, they eventually went that separate ways, but I did notice over time, you know, as I got older in some of my past relationships, you know, I would go from 0 to 1,000 and almost coming to that point of putting my hands on, you know, a female, but I didn't. You know, I either just walked away or, you know, I might have just grabbed them, you know, like tell them, look, you know, look, you don't want to, you know, go there with me. You know what I'm saying? Just pretty much just walked away, though. But I guess the point that I'm really trying to make is, you know, later on in life, I became, you know, a police officer, which I got 22 years under my belt. And, you know, when I go to calls, you know, at one point in time, you know, I would go in, and no matter what the guy said, he was going to jail, you know. And, you know, so it's like the laws have changed, you know, to where, you know, you have to, like, listen to both sides. You know, you have to find out who's the aggressor because, you know, sometimes, you know, females, you know, they may lie, you know, just to get the guy out the house. And like I said, in 22 years, I've been to court. And 90% of the time, they come right in court together, hand in hand, lovey-dovey.
Wow.
You know, so it's you know, right. It's kind of like, what was the point of me going through all this paperwork and y'all back together anyway, though? So, I mean,
can
I just, you know, for any women that's out there. Sure.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you, do you think that maybe just the situation with your mother and not being able to, because typically, like you said, you wanted to intervene, and you, I don't know any guy who would ever walk up and see their mother with two black eyes would not want to react in a negative way.
Exactly.
Do you think that that situation is what prompts you to become a police officer? Because now you can almost, as a police officer, you can legally help a woman in a way that you couldn't as a citizen on the street. As a son, you couldn't really take, you know, matters in your hands in a legit way, because as you said, people come on the scene and things aren't getting settled. But as a police officer, do you think that's what prompts you to do that, because you now got into that protective mode, protective third type mode? Do you think that that situation is what prompts you to go into that career field?
Not necessarily. I mean, originally it was I couldn't beat them, so I joined them. You know, I've been working ever since I've been like 15. So, you know, I held down two jobs. And as I got older, you know, I was getting stereotyped, you know, because I always had money, you know, wear nice clothes. But I worked for mine. So it got to the point where, you know, I said, well, you know what, let me go ahead, try for the police department. I got in. Once I got in, I did try to be a domestic violence detective. But unfortunately, they picked somebody else. But, you know, like I said, being on this job, even as a patrolman, you know, you go to these calls, you know, you see the women that's beat up, batted, you take the guy to jail. By the time the court, you know, case comes around, they back, you know, hand in hand, lovey dovey.
Right.
You know what I mean? It gets frustrating, but at the same time, you know, I still have to do my job regardless. You know, I don't care if I go to that house 1,000 times and he gets locked up 1,000 times. You know, I still got to do what I got to do. So.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you, Lando, for your service. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story and enlightening us on a little bit about the laws. Now, before you hang up, let me ask you one question. When you go to these houses, sometimes when you see that the female is the aggressor, do you lock her up? Or do you lock both of them up? Or how does that work?
Well, before, it used to be where if you couldn't really determine who was the aggressor, they both went to jail. They both were yelling. Now, you know, they try to deter that to where you separate them, you know, you get both sides of the story. And, I mean, if there's no physical injuries, they have to go see the court commissioner and, you know, file charges against each other. But a lot of times, you know, you can kind of use like say good judge of character. You know, when you get there, you can kind of tell who's the aggressor. You know, the guys, you know, you can look at the guy, he's 6'5", 300 some pounds, and the girl, you know, yelling, screaming, talking about, oh, he beat me up, he beat me up, where's your injuries at? Well, he did this, he, you know what I'm saying? So it's like she's making up stuff as the story goes along, and he's just sitting there calmly, but she's the one, like the little chihuahua, you know, still, you know, fussing and bitching and moaning. You know, so, you know, he's like, look, man, I didn't hear her. You can look at me and tell, you know, I got scratches on my neck. You know, and then, like I said, you just compare the evidence pretty much. That's what you go off of and determine, you know.
Now,
when
did I know you got
aggressive.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying,
I know you got out of college, but the fact that we have a police officer on the line, I guess this is really, I have a question, because you say you go and you look at the evidence. Now, it seems like even, like, just in really fights on the street, really, when you think about it, it's almost like the person with the worst injuries doesn't go to jail because they got beat up. But just because you started the fight and figured out that you couldn't fight, or I could fight harder than you, it always seems like, okay, anytime you have a woman going up against a guy, they are maybe subject to lose. So if you get to a house and the woman has the worst injury, that doesn't mean she didn't start the fight. And most of the time, the guy ends up going to jail because now she got a busted lip and a black eye, but she started all this, and she started hitting first, and just because she didn't hit as hard, but you know what I mean? It's kind of almost still like a double standard. My son is 6'5", and if a woman starts beating on him, 9 times out of 10, one punch, she's going to hurt her, but does she not have the right to punch her back?
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. So basically, you know, she smacks him in the face with an open hand. He punches her, draws blood. You're saying that, you know, I will probably
go
ahead and take him to jail?
He's probably going to go to jail, but why? She put her hands on him. Like, where's the line of self-defense? Let's just say she did punch him 3 times in the face. She just happened to not drop blood against a black eye. He punched her one time. Now, from then, he's going to open her face up. But did he not have the
right
to defend himself?
To hit her back, exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's a thin line because, I mean, as crazy as I have been to calls like that, you know, before.
I have a son that's locked up for that situation right now. And we're still, I mean, and it's horrible. And she hit him in the head with everything. She hit him 3 times in the head, punched him in the face. She even busted his lip and chipped his tooth. And because he punched her and fractured her jaw, he's doing time. And she said she hit him first.
And, I mean, she stated it?
She got an open court and stated
it. Is that what you just said?
And they still gave him time. They said that there's no reason that he should have ever been able to, he should have hit her back that hard.
Well, nah.
But how do you determine
that doesn't
somebody
really work
off here. Of you?
Right. I mean, I guess it all depends on the state because, I mean, just not too long ago, probably about a year ago, I had a case like that. The lady hit the man right in front of me, bust his lip, and I locked her up, went to court. He told the judge I gave her permission to hit me. They threw it out. I almost got contempt because I started cussing. Like, what you mean? So if he tells her, oh, you can shoot me, you know, and, you know what I'm saying, she shoots him, that's okay? I mean, like, what the hell? I'm going off in court, you know, and the judge and hitting that guy, you know, officer, you know, you need to. And I'm like, what? So, yeah, I mean, if she openly admitted, that's crazy that he still got time behind it.
Very crazy.
And like you said, different states, different laws. So. Yeah.
Right.
Orlando.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to cut your segment short because my show is only for an
hour.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I'm at work and I
have a whole bunch of other callers that are calling in and want to comment. But like I said, I do want to thank you so much for your time, your effort, and your comments and helping us helping to enlighten us on how the laws work.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I can be of some assistance.
Thank you, and I hope you continue to listen.
All right, now, y'all take it easy.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to go to the caller with the last four of 1875. Caller, are you calling to make a comment, or are you listening?
I was calling to make a comment. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing fine. Right. How about yourself?
I'm good. I was listening to I'm Ayana. and from the Chicago, Atlanta / Atlanta area.
How
and
you doing, Ayana?
I'm fine. I was listening to y'all talk about it, and so here's what my opinion is on the situation. With guys, I do think as kids, when you're around domestic situations, it can become learned behavior. So in the sense of a male, it can become learned behavior because he does take advantage of a female in that way. And then in the female, uh-huh. it becomes learned behavior because they think that that's how they're supposed to be treated because that's how they saw their mother being treated. Me personally, my mom and my dad did used to get it in, however you want to call it, but I had a great childhood. So it wasn't as bad as when I look at it as like a grown person, like it wasn't that bad. But uh-huh. I do know that it affected me in my adult relationships. I have
now. Let me ask you this. Stop right there before I forget. Did it affect you in a way that where you wanted to argue and fight, or did it affect you in a way where you expected the guy to fight you because this is what you saw, or did it just affect you in a way where as soon as I see drama coming, I'm going to back away because I don't want to be bothered?
I think it is the I don't want to be bothered. So what I have, mm-hmm. I consider it like trust commitment issues. I kind of don't want to go too far in the relationship in the fear of where it could go. So I
can see that.
I have a wall up that I have been unable to take down. Because you be like, oh, I'm in a relationship and everything is great. And you be like, I can't have nobody yelling at me. I got to go. And you could have been yelling like, pass me the plate. No, you got no plate. I'm going to leave. So I think it affects people differently. I just knew growing up I didn't want that type of relationship. Now, mind you, I knew my dad loved my mom and vice versa. It wasn't always him. I tell people all the time it was an Ike and Tina situation, and you never knew who.
Uh-huh.
So uh-huh. to the point of, yeah, sometimes women will start situations. They will hit men first. Doesn't make it right for a man to hit them back. But in today's world, some of these women think they men. So I'm not saying you have to hit them, but, you know, it happens. And as far as
right.
your son being, that's just, I think you got a bad judge. I think that situation was one of them
yeah.
bad judges. Because I can't believe that for you to go into the court system and say, no, it was my fault, and they still like, no, I'm going to put it. I think that was a black man in the court, and they was like, we don't care. I mean, because that's just unbelievable. Yeah, that's just unbelievable. Because there were times when the police had come to our house growing up, and they didn't take my dad. They took my mom.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I was old enough to know. I did always try to interfere. I think as kids, you do always want to defend your mother because that is who's supposed to not be the strongest person. But as
mm-hmm.
I
right.
grew up, I realized that it wasn't always my dad. And I think I had to mature into that and understand that as a woman, I have no right to stand in a man's face. Like, I can take him down because I may not be able to, and then play the victim. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
So. I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But.
Well, Ayana,
but
I thank you for calling share your story with us and enlighten us as a child growing up and seeing domestic violence with the parents. I appreciate you, and I hope you continue to listen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
She had
I can't
a good
say
point
Dana,
as far as
these phone lines are blowing up. Before I take a break, I do want to take one more call. Because I have so many. Caller with the last four of 3635. 3635. Caller, are you calling to make a comment or are you calling to listen?
make a comment.
Hey, hi. Can you state your name and where you're from?
I'm LaDonna, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, LaDonna.
Hi.
Go ahead with your comment.
Well, I was listening, and I, too, have been through the abuse. And I know, you know, from experience of growing up watching it and going through it, that it will and can affect you and your kids through the long haul. I mean, you can go through it and get out of it, and it still affects you with your everyday life. Like, it don't matter that you're not in it no more. It's still something that you deal with forever, especially with growing up watching it in your household. You know, you'll make a vow to yourself to never go through it, and then you watch it so much that you become a product of what, you know, you despise. And then it'll go from that to being a victim to being the victimizer, you know. And through it all, your kids is watching what you once watched, and then as you watch your kids grow, you see, you know, your kids go through some of the same things you went through, and it's just, it becomes a repetitive cycle, you know.
Right.
And at that point, it causes a development of a dysfunctional family, honestly.
Wow.
Because of generational curse, pretty much.
Generational curse
that just keeps going and going and going. You're 100% correct. It can. And, unfortunately, with my situation, I've never seen that before. When I went through my situation, I was just blindsided. I've never seen my mother and father fight. I was always the one to fight or the tough person growing up. And I even seen people get put on, and I was one of those people. I wish somebody would put their hands on me. I kill somebody. They do this to me. And then I just made it in my, you know, and then luckily I myself broke that generational curse. And I don't know if maybe because I had boys, I didn't have any girls. That I think in my situation with my boys, I put them in a tough situation because, like you said, your kids, it becomes a learned behavior. Even though my children didn't see it, I only had one at the time, I have three now, I embedded in my boys, if you ever put your hands on a girl, I kill you. You cannot ever touch a girl. You cannot ever. And I generated these robots to where you're not allowed to hit a girl, to where I think my kids ended up going through situations where they couldn't defend themselves because they're like, look here, look, she wrong, but if I hit her, I got to deal with my mother. I want to deal with
my mom.
Right.
So I can deal with this. I can deal with this. And, yeah, and like you said, it becomes a you don't know because, like you said, you were the victim. So you became that person. Me as the victim, I became that person to tell my boys, don't ever be that person that did that to me. That person did that to your mama. I don't ever want nobody to do this. Don't you ever do that.
And I was the person to tell my boys the importance of not doing it. But watching me go through, they still end up doing it with their girlfriend, you know, baby mama. And
now, how do you deal with that? How does that affect you? That your boys are the person that you did that. How does that affect you as a mom?
It hurts me because I don't know how to help him get out of that, and it hurts me even more because I feel I'm part of the reason that he is that individual. Mm-hmm. Because although I preach the importance not doing it, I know I stuck around and continued to allow him to
make it. Well, that's a tough situation. That definitely is a tough situation. I definitely pray for you because that is a tough situation. I am so grateful every day that my son, you know, I hate the situation I went through, but I'm thankful that it happened with my son at such a young age. My other ones didn't see it because to be you as a mother, knowing what you went through and what you felt, and then now that your son is causing that same pain to another woman and you can't help him, I'll be praying for you because that's a tough situation.
I thought I was getting out of the situation more than once and would go right into another abusive situation. You know, I went through it all the way until I got shot 9 times by a guy that I was with. You know, and it's sad but true. I was so used to the abuse and used to the pain that I wasn't as mad at him as everyone else was for doing that, you know, and I forgave him when everybody else didn't, but it was like he didn't understand that basically I was damaged goods already. You know, I had been through so much and seen so much to where anything other than that for a while was abnormal.
That was your normality to fight and argue. So that was your norm. But now it is a repeated cycle, because if it's normal to you, it's normal to your kids.
Your child.
Yeah. Realize that it's not normal. Your kids is already affected because, you know, my selfish decision making, which at that time I didn't realize how selfish it was, because, like I said, I grew up watching that repetitively in my household and my auntie's household. So it was like, it was normal. That's what I was supposed to accept, you know, from a man. So about time I realized that wasn't normal, it had already damaged me, my kids, and, you know, and I was trying to figure out the next step from there. You know, but sometimes, you know, just something that small can lead to a disastrous life.
You're right.
You're absolutely correct. And I want to keep your number, LaDonna, and talk to you offline, offer some resources for you and your kids. And I'm glad that you called in and shared your story, because I actually have a clip with a mother talking about her son. It was a kidnapping situation about her son and his girlfriend. And I do want to play that clip for everybody. But I do want to talk to you offline, if that's okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Like I said, thank you again for calling and sharing your story with everybody.
And again, I'll be praying for you.
And we're going to figure this out, LaDonna. We're going to figure out how to break this cycle. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're so very welcome. Wow, Dana.
Jeez.
Generational curses. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
And all the curses that are out there and how we can stop it. And I wanted to stop taking calls right here after LaDonna's call, because I actually have a clip that I want to play, because it's disheartening to hear how a mother has to say these things about her son and his vicious attack on his girlfriend. So bear with me while I play this clip, everyone.
Central Arkansas mother speaking out tonight after police say her son kidnapped his girlfriend, held her hostage, and then beat her for days. Good evening, I'm Kevin Kelly.
I'm Donna Terrell. Fox 16's Ken Bufa is back from Pine Bluff, where the relative is devastated by what happened. Ken?
Well, Donna, Kevin, police say Joseph Lampkin held his girlfriend against her will for 2 days. He allegedly beat her with household items and his hands. His mother spoke exclusively to me to explain how she is taking this news. This abandoned house on South Ames Street in Pine Bluff sits broken down. Last Friday, police say Joseph Lampkin kept his girlfriend inside against her will, right across the street from his mother's home, where she sits brokenhearted.
I'm hurt. Career hurt.
The affidavit says Lampkin tied his lover up with tape and string. He then beat her with a broken table leg and his fists.
I know no man's supposed to hit no woman. No woman, I don't care what kind of woman they is, no woman deserves to be
here. She was held here for 2 days, where police say Lampkin constantly beat her and threatened her life. Authorities say Lampkin kept his girlfriend in a closet when he left and fed her when he returned. On day three, he released her to go to work. The victim tells police this torture was because Lampkin thought she was cheating.
I didn't raise him to do that to women. I did.
The victim suffered a fractured thumb, bruises all over her body, and a black eye. Lampkin faces multiple battery charges. And as this home remains empty and damaged, his mother says it's not the only thing that needs repair.
Because what he did wasn't powerful. It wasn't powerful at all. And the only thing he had to do was just let her go. Leave her alone. That's all.
Now, the affidavit says Lampkin once pleaded guilty to domestic violence before. He now faces multiple battery charges, false imprisonment, and terroristic threatening. Kevin, Donna, back to you.
I tell you what, Ken, this is...
Wow. A mother having to get on the news to tell the world that her son held his girlfriend against her will in an abandoned house and beat her for days.
I think that's kind of like me, just and I guess my unfortunately my boys get it bad on that end in that situation, because that is like my biggest fear as a mother, is my boys turn into the same type of person that abused me. And I really do think that my biggest fear was always, and I used to always tell my kids that I used to tell when they started dating girls, if he ever put his hands on you, you got a better chance of calling me than the police, because I promise you I'm probably going to hurt him, because you don't want to be that mother. Especially when you know that feeling. I know what I felt, and I wouldn't wish that pain on any female, regardless of who it was. Not even, you know, some of my, you know, my sons. So I tell my kids, that's why I tell them, be careful when you date. Pick people wisely, because, you know, on the flip side, you do get these aggressive women who are abusive too, and maybe because they've seen abuse. And I don't want my kids to be a victim either. I don't want my boys to be victims either. I don't want my boys to ever be victims of domestic violence because their mother doesn't want them to hit back, or because they're boys in the law says you can't hit a girl. So it's kind of a, you know, a mother to get on the TV and say that. That's a hard feeling for a mother.
I could just imagine how it would be hard. I'm going to give an example of when my oldest son was in middle school. And I used to always tell him, you know, I think you're handsome. Don't you ever let a girl put their hands on you, hit you. You better hit them back. Period. Well, I got up to the school one day, and they had my son hemmed up. I didn't understand it because I mean, you know Michael, he don't get in trouble. So I asked what happened, and Michael said she dropped her poster. I accidentally stepped on it. Before I could reach down and pick it up, she slapped me. He said, and when I went to say something, she slapped me again. So I slapped her back. Now, this little girl was able to get in her car and go home with her dad. My son was held at the school, threatened to be expelled. So I had to go all the way to the school board, because not only did she slap him once, but she slapped him twice. There were kids, bus drivers, parents, everyone outside when she slapped him, but he was being detained. I think the mindset of people, even back then, 15 years ago or 10 years ago, was that men should never, ever hit women. This situation on this clip that I just played, for you to blatantly kidnap and beat this girl for days, totally unacceptable.
Yeah, and I agree. Men should not... And I guess this is another thing. I agree 100%. Men should not just naturally go around hitting on women. However, where do the men get a chance to defend themselves? There's a difference when you just walking in the kitchen slapping your girlfriend because you just had a bad day at work. There's a difference if you walking in the kitchen and your girl had a bad day at work and she beating you across the head with a pot. What do you do? How do you stop somebody who's irate and acting crazy except to put them down? I mean, I don't know. It's unfair, but I don't think people should hit people, period, without suffering any consequences.
Right.
I mean, we were taught that in preschool. You hit somebody, you get hit, you get back. I mean,
yeah, you hit me, I'll hit you back. And teachers, my granddaughter today, her teachers tell her, if somebody hits you, you hit them back. You don't want to tell the kid, don't hit them back, because then you take a chance of them being bullied.
Right.
But at some point in time, like, as women, young ladies, men, grown women, the line has to be drawn. When you see yourself getting to a point of domestic violence, take a step back, walk away, leave. Because there has been plenty of times where things have gotten so out of hand, somebody ends up dying.
Yes. You escalate, it gets to the point where if you feel that you're getting to the point where you need to put your hands on somebody, you need to walk away. Point blank, regardless of what gender you are, if you're a female and you're getting to the point where you're getting so upset and now you just want to put your hands on your guy, you need to walk away, because it's getting to the point, like you said, where people end up hurt. It can go horribly wrong. the same guy, the same thing the police officer said. There's a lot of women who, oh, they just get mad and they hit their guy and they don't expect him to hit them back. Then they hit them back. Now they're going to jail and they're walking in there feeling sorry and because they know they started it. Now you're walking hand in hand and I don't want to press charges. And sometimes it's too late for these guys. Like, these guys are getting felonies and things on their record and all kind of stuff that carries in the rest of their life because you just made one bad choice yourself as a female.
One bad choice.
And it goes, and the same thing with a guy. Yep. Gotta be, just keep your hands to yourself. And
the same
doing to others as you will have others doing to you. If you don't want anybody hitting on you, don't put your hands on nobody else.
That's it. I'm going to tell you, I had a friend that, every relationship she got into was a fight. Every single last one of them, to the point where, you know, we in the street playing tug of war. With he's got one arm, I got the other arm. We're in the middle of a busy street. It's like, leave that relationship. The next relationship, they're fighting. Next relationship, they're fighting. Mm-hmm. I watched this for so long that I think it affected my life. If I see someone arguing or whatever, or even in my relationships, I would just rather walk away. And I try so hard to have patience now with my husband. Like, if I see things getting out of hand, I need to stop because he's never put his hands on me. But I just don't, I be feeling like I don't have time. I don't have time for, I don't want to argue. I don't want to do anything of such. I just don't want to be bothered with it because I've seen so much throughout my life that I don't want to have that type of relationship. And I'm sometimes scared that if things get escalated, it may end up in a fight, even though I know this man. And he's not even the type of person, but I think in my mind, it's just, I've watched this so much growing up.
But you know yourself, too, that you know, when you know yourself, too. Like, I know me, there was a time, you know, when I was in my relationship with my husband, I got to the point where when things got even just in an argument, I was stuck in the swing first phase. Like, my husband and I went through a lot to where I was aggressive, but he was very patient and understood that I would respond because that's all I knew. Okay, I'm about to get slapped, so I got to swing first. But that was from my past relationship, like the last caller said. It does carry on. The first lady called in. She said it carries on to all your relationships. And when she said she just walks away, she gets away. There was a time when we had to come into a box where my husband had to finally tell me, look, I'm not going to put my hands on you. You're okay. You're safe with me. Because then you get in that attack mode. Uh-oh. Like, I get in a relationship and then I start arguing. Uh-oh, time to start swinging. Time to start fighting. It's about to get real. And it's not always that way. So, you know, you got to eventually outgrow that situation the best you can or pretty much just deal with it. You know, try to deal with it and figure it out. Like you said, sometimes you just got to learn how to control yourself and walk away.
I agree. That's it. Self-control. That's the word for tonight. Learn how to have self-control. I don't know if these callers are calling in to make a comment or calling in just to listen, but I want to let them chime in if that's what they want to do. We have about 6 minutes left on the show. Caller with the last four of 0899. Caller, are you calling in to listen or do you want to make a comment?
I'll make a brief comment.
Okay.
Just to say, when you were talking about how women, between a guy and a woman in the domestic world, I feel like this. I'm totally against the domestic abuse, primarily because I know it's wrong and I've been in it. And then I watched my mother go through it my whole life from a child growing up. But when you get women that think they are men and they put themselves in a man's position, then I think that's when it takes a turn. Because you do have women that when they get angry, they want to slap, they want to choke, they want to hit, and expect the man to just sit there. And you have some that will until they get tired. Just like a woman, when they get tired, they will eventually fight back. And like the other lady on the phone said, that's when, what are you supposed to do to tame them? You know, I'm going to grab your arms, I'm going to pin you up against the wall, I'm going to do something to get you off of me because I'm tired. So I'm totally with that. If it gets to that point where You can't walk in a corner and count. You can't go outside and breathe. Or you can't get out and drive around the corner for 15 minutes and calm down and you feel like you just got to fight. Then it is time to walk away because it's not worth it. Because loving is not supposed to hurt and it's not supposed to be like that. Everybody has pain and suffering or disagreements, but the fighting, that ain't it. And I just wish that some women feel that they can beat a man. And, you know, statistically it shows we're not stronger than them. You can try. But when you put yourself in that position as being the man, and he knock you down, don't say it's domestic. It's not domestic. You know what I mean? Just
self-defense. It's a
fence. It's self-defense at this point.
Right.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your comment.
You're welcome.
Caller with the last four digits of 2300. We have a few seconds. Would you like to make a comment, or are you just listening?
I'm really listening, but I guess I can make a quick little comment. I was in a domestic abuse situation years ago, and, I mean, it was just like the last caller said, you know, and, I mean, you know, sometimes you felt like when you got a new relationship, it felt like, hey, I might have to swing first, you know, argument might go sour, let me swing first so I'm not, you know, in a messed up situation. And I had to learn, my husband had to bring me out of that because it's like, look, we're having a simple disagreement. This is okay. Like, it's not going to escalate to that, you know, it's not going to get that far. But it took me years to come out of that because I was so used to, I mean, he would come home and he would be so upset that it would be something simple like, hey, you know, today I'm sad because today, you know, my grandmother passed, or, you know, I'm going through something, you know, financially or whatever, and I was always that punching bag or, you know, that one. But then it came down to a place, and I had a child with him, so when it came down to a place one time, he ended up pulling out a gun in front of my daughter, where my daughter was 2 years old, where she really didn't understand. But then it came to a place where I was like, I had to wake up, like, get the hell out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't introduce this to your daughter because I didn't want my daughter to grow up thinking that it was okay for a man to do X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, I have boys, so I understand that I don't want them in a situation just like with Michael. I don't want my child in a situation where he can't defend himself because it's unfair for women to come in and think, you know, oh, he's not going to hit me. Oh, they can't do anything about it, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really an unfair world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't, you know.
I don't agree
with it. I've been through it. But at the same time, I'm going to stand by my kids. I'm going to stand by my sons. I'm going to stand by my daughters. Right is right, and right don't wrong nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I agree.
I agree 100%.
I agree 100%. I agree with you. I will stand you. Like I said, I hate my son is in his situation, but I promise you I was right there with him in court. And I told them that. When my son hit a woman back, my son cried and said, Mama, I didn't have no choice. I know, don't be mad at me. I support you 100%.
Right.
I'm here every day because I know my children and I know my son would not. He had the right to defend himself, and I told him that whatever the law says, however they feel it, you are right in my eyes, and I love you to the end, and there's nothing that I felt you did wrong.
Thank you
so much, caller, for calling to share your story. We appreciate it. Tonight's episode, y'all, was thebomb.com. We got a lot of callers that called in to share their story. Dana, I want to thank you so much for being my guest co-host. The moral of the story for tonight is everybody keep your hands to yourself.
Respect.
If you don't want
to respect, bottom line.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yep.
Learn how to talk to each other with respect. Respect each other, and everything will be fine. LaDonna, if you're still listening, I'm going to reach out to you offline. I do want to talk to you a little bit more about your situation. I want to end tonight.
I'm right here, too. So if you can give her my, you know, we can, like you said, offline, and then I'll connect with you as far as her, since I'm right here in the city.
Okay. I want to invite everybody to go to victimstoppersradio.us for our blog. Follow us on Twitter at victimstoppers. And I want to end with a note from our sponsor. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you next week.
having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are: what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.